Welcome to our Clothed with the Sun daily podcast, our reading and meditation on the gospel of the day. This is Charles Colazzi, and today is Sunday, May the 12th, 2024. It's the seventh Sunday of Easter, and in some parts of the country, it is Ascension Sunday, 43 days after Easter. Jesus hung around for three more days, depending which diocese you live in. Our reading today is from the Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. So as I said, today we're celebrating the Feast of the Ascension, and it is also Mother's Day. I don't remember if I have preached on this particular topic before, what I'm about to talk about, in a podcast. I know I've told this story many, many times, but I wanted to talk a little bit today about the movie Fantasia. Now, I think they made a second one to copy the first, and I don't think I've even seen the second one, but this is the original. When I was a little kid, my mother took me to the movies every so often, and it was usually a Disney movie when I was little. My favorite was Pinocchio, but there were others, sometimes live action, sometimes cartoons. Usually they were cartoons, and there was a new one coming out. I thought it was new, at least. It was called Fantasia, and I saw the poster for it, and it's Mickey Mouse dressed up like the Sorcerer's Apprentice. And so my mom said, "You want to go see that?" I said, "Yeah, of course." So she took me, and I was very disappointed. What a strange movie for a little kid. I thought it was going to be a Mickey Mouse adventure, right? But instead, it was classical music, which, okay, I had some familiarity with classical music. The first song was, I think it's called Toccata and Fugue in D Minor from Mozart. And I remembered watching commercials that were on all the time for Brigantine Castle. It's, I think it's still there, but it hasn't been open in many years. I drove by it, I think, last year just to see where is this place that I was always seeing advertisements for. And anyway, they used to have these advertisements for this castle, and the first person you'd see in the advertisement was Dracula, and they'd play that music. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So I often associated that with horror movies, I guess, even though I had not seen too many horror movies as a little kid. And then I remember hearing the Nutcracker Suite that I had heard before. Perhaps my father was listening to it when he was on a classical music kick. And all the various pieces from the Nutcracker from Tchaikovsky were featured in different commercials here and there, usually around Christmas time. I had not seen the Nutcracker yet at that point. And anyway, we finally got to the point where Mickey Mouse was featured as the Sorcerer's Apprentice, and that was really the only thing in the entire movie that really held my interest all that much, and even that was kind of weird. It was weird. The brooms are all walking around. Somebody recently posted on Facebook that was a good foreshadowing, I guess, for AI and what happens when things get out of control, when you give something its own intelligence and then you can't rein it back in, when you don't have control over it anymore. Anyway, I wasn't thinking anything like that when I was a little kid. I was just watching this strange movie, trying to enjoy it, trying to be entertained by it, and I really just didn't understand it. And here I am, this little kid, thinking, well, so it's nice to go to the movies. I appreciate mom taking me. And I kind of like classical music a little bit, but still, it was a bit much, and I guess I kind of zonked out for part of it. I was somewhat bored until the final scene. The final scene is two pieces, and they both make up one story. And this was made, this was not new, by the way. I had mentioned earlier, oh, there's a new movie. No, I thought it was a new movie, but no, Walt Disney had made this picture, Fantasia, I believe back in the 40s. Could have been the 50s. I think it was the 40s, actually. Maybe even earlier. Who knows? I don't know all the dates with Disney. I know it goes back that far. And, well, it was in full color, so might have been a little bit later. But anyway, the final two pieces. The first piece, I come to find out later, was called Night on Bald Mountain. And the music for this piece was from a composer by the name of, I think it's called Murigansky. I think that's the name. I forget exactly. I think that's what it was, though. And it was scary music. Bum, 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 da, 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 dun, 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 dun. And what was being depicted was that there was this little village. It seemed like a nice little village in the mountains. Bunch of little houses, little stores, a little church in the center. That was being attacked by the devil and his minions. And as a little kid watching this, oh, I sat up straight in my seat. I was afraid. And I thought, what is this? This really caught my attention. And all these demons, they're coming up out of the ground, and then they're flying around. And the devil, there's obviously a head demon, and he's huge, and he's muscular, and he's directing all of his minions to attack. And this poor little village with these people that were just they seem very nice, very normal, very ordinary, they were being attacked by these demons. And the demons were just terrorizing everyone. And the light was kind of like a dark red that went through the town. And the devil was pleased as he saw the people running in fear, running for their lives, and basically running up into their homes and shutting the door, locking the door, shutting all the windows, shuttering the windows. And you could see them cowering in fear. And the story goes on. And finally, when everyone is hidden, everyone is afraid, everyone has run for their lives, and the demons have taken over this small little village, the devil seems very pleased. And there he is on Bald Mountain. I guess that's what the mountain was called, because that's the name of the piece. And he's sitting on top of the mountain, and he's very, very happy. But then the music starts to change. It sounds a little sad. It sounds a little depressed. It's hard to really know what is happening now. And the devil looks and he thinks, what is that? What's going on here? I've defeated them. They have no power over me. What is this? They're just making their noises that human beings make, especially when they're afraid. But as the music changes, there's a bell that begins to ring. And it's the church bell in the center of town. And the music, once again, it seemed like it was a piece of music, perhaps various notes indicating the fear of the people. But now more and more, it seems like it's reflecting the fear of these lower level demons as this church bell begins to ring. And then there's a choir that begins to sing very low at first. And they're not even singing anything in particular yet. It's just like a ooh sound. But as the bell gets louder, as the choir gets louder, as the music changes, the light begins to change, and the red is taken over, little, by a blue light. It's very subtle at first, but it slowly gets stronger. And you can see more and more that this change represents the prayers of these people. These people are desperate. They have nothing. They've been completely terrorized, and now they're completely at a loss, and so they pray. You would hope and you would think people are praying all along, but these people waited till they were in utter misery before they cried out to the Lord. And the blue light gets brighter. and the red light starts to disappear, and you see on the face of the devil an annoyance at first, and a growing anger, and you see fear on the lower level demons' faces. And little by little, the music starts to change, the bell continues to ring, and then a new musical piece begins. Come to find out later, it was Schubert's Ave Maria. And you hear in the background, dun 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 dun, dun 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 dun, dun 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 dun, dun 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 dun. And little by little, more and more, there is a singing. There's the choir, but then there's a soloist voice that begins to sing Schubert's Ave Maria, which, as we know, is the Hail Mary. And as the singing begins, it gets louder, and the demons are utterly in fear now, and they start to flee. One by one, they take off, and the devil is looking at them, and you can see in a sort of a way, represented in a cartoon, he's angry with them. He's reprimanding them. Do not flee, you cowards. And little by little, one and one, they flee. As the music gets louder, as the light gets brighter, and finally the people start to come out of their homes. And the singing is more and more pronounced, and the people are participating. And eventually we see people holding candles. As the demons flee, the prayer overtakes the village, the blue light overtakes the village, and finally the devil himself, in utter annoyance but also in fear, flees. And the people now are, and it's a scene, it reminds me a little bit, not to be disrespectful, but reminds me a little bit of the Grinch, you know, that village, and it's Christmas morning, and they've lost everything, and they still come out into the center of the village, and they sing because they're happy that it's Christmas Day. Well, it's a similar kind of a thing. They come out into the center, they sing, they rejoice. Various people have called this cartoon, this end of Fantasia, the greatest cartoon ever made. In fact, many people have said that. It's brilliant, and it also reflects a Christianity that Walt Disney, to some degree or another, believed in, but nowadays you'd never see this made. It ends, so this entire, excuse me, this entire two-hour movie ends on this note. The devil is defeated, and the Blessed Mother is called upon. And we know that when Mary comes, she brings Jesus. And the people rejoice, and there is peace. And the people go back to their lives, and they're happy. And it's the end of the story. I was a little kid when I saw this, as I said, and man, this movie was challenging. It was difficult to get through. I'll bet you if I watched it right now, it would be difficult to get through, too. Even though I do like classical music, I don't know. It was very unique. It's not the kind of thing you normally are used to seeing. And we don't have really good attention spans, do we? I listen to classical music, but very often it's in the background while I'm doing something else. But as a little kid, I was so overtaken by this final scene. I would say this was very much a part of my own personal conversion, even though it was early on. The devil is conquered, even though the devil by nature is very powerful, very intimidating. The fact is, the devil is conquered by prayer. The devil is conquered by our mother. This is what we celebrate today twofold. We have a mother, and the church is in heaven. First, because Jesus has ascended, and now because Mary has been assumed. And so our mother reigns with Jesus on the throne in heaven, above the earth. So I want to talk about what this means a little bit here, but just to say a little bit more about my own story. When I would struggle to fall asleep at night, when I was very afraid as a little kid, I was afraid of a lot of different things. But as it would get darker and it was time to go to bed, sometimes I would stay up and just be afraid of noises that I heard and shadows that I saw. Sometimes I'd have a bad dream. Sometimes I'd even think that I saw something in my room, and who knows if it was real or if it wasn't, right? But I asked my parents to buy me the soundtrack to Fantasia. And as a little kid, I mean, I had a little tape recorder and I had a couple of cassettes. And this is One of them that I owned. It was actually a two-cassette set because there was so much music in this movie. I mean, the cassette tapes themselves were almost 2 hours long. But I would play over and over again the very end, and I would listen to it as I was falling asleep. The Night on Bald Mountain, Murigowski, whatever his name was, that would capture my fears. And then the Blessed Mother would obliterate them, and I would fall asleep in her arms, in her peace. So this is what we celebrate today. We celebrate our moms. We celebrate the great gift that motherhood is. We celebrate what mothers do. They're our connection with God. It's the first time in human life that we recognize there is a being. We recognize this already in the womb. There is a being that is bigger than me, that loves me, that feeds me, that takes care of me. And I could not survive without this being, without this person. We initially call this person mom. Later in life, if we are properly trained and properly taught, which so many of our children are not anymore, we learn to call this person greater than ourselves, who takes care of everything for us, God. Our moms are the first ones to teach us about God because of who they are and what they do. Eventually, we're going to grow past our moms. We're never going to, well, I mean, we can lose our moms to death, of course, and that happens a lot, right? But our moms are always our moms, as long as they're still living. And even in heaven, they constantly pray for us. While they're still living here on earth, they're constantly thinking about us. They're taking care of us in various ways. But as we know, we, in a sense, we outgrow our moms. We outgrow that baby-like dependency that we have upon our moms. I mean, some of us, my mom is 81, and I still rely on her for various things. But as we get older, she relies on me for things too. We rely on each other. And so we need to grow. We need to grow past this. I was saying the other day about how typically in developmental psychology, they say the mom is the one that gets you started, but then the dad is the one that socializes you. The dad is the bridge to the world. That's typically how it's supposed to go. I mean, once again, we don't like to be too stereotypical. I mean, we live in a world today where very often moms do both jobs to the degree that they can, to the degree that God has gifted them, and they are working at this. And sometimes dads do both jobs too, depending on your situation. But we celebrate this person that we call mother. We celebrate our moms and all the sacrifices that they have made. Moms go into this zone, this way of existing, where they no longer live for themselves, they live for their children. And when their children grow up, when we outgrow them to whatever degree we are outgrowing them, I don't want to say they lose their purpose. Sometimes they feel like they've lost their purpose, but they continue to find fulfillment by mothering. Maybe they're mothering their grandchildren, maybe they're still mothering their children in different ways, maybe they find other people to mother. But this is all part of the human existence. This is how we find fulfillment. Jesus told us it's greater to give than to receive, and mothers are the greatest givers. They've literally given of their very selves to their children. Tomorrow is the Feast of Our Lady of Fatima, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit, but I'll talk about that tomorrow, I mean. But we celebrate this whole month of May in honor of Our Lady. She is the greatest mom. She is the one given to all of us by God. And very specifically, he said from the cross, "Behold your mother." While he was suffering, she was suffering with him, so that you and I could be born again, so that you and I could receive the Spirit, so that you and I could go to heaven, so that you and I could receive grace and the forgiveness of our sins and so much healing that we desperately need. And so we celebrate the Blessed Mother. And I believe that story about Fantasia and my own life illustrates this so well. When I was a little baby, my mother would help me to fall asleep. As I got older, that wasn't happening. You know, we like I say, in different ways, we outgrow our mothers. We don't expect that when we're getting older, we're just going to keep calling mom to put us to sleep. And a lot of times moms feel, well, I don't need to do that anymore. My child has outgrown me in that need. But still, we need help. And so our spiritual mother, Our Lady, our Blessed Mother, who is more than just a spiritual mother. I mean, she feeds us with the body and blood of Christ that originally came from her body. She mothers us in so many ways. She mothers us spiritually. She's involved in all of our prayers. She's constantly interceding for us. She gave consent to everything that Jesus did while here on earth, and so she continues, our church teaches us, to give consent. Jesus and his mother are one. They're so bound up with each other. They're so connected that when Jesus is helping us, when he's giving us God's grace, when he's forgiving us, when he's saving us, when he's giving us actual graces, when he's giving us supernatural grace, sanctifying grace, the graces of the sacraments, the graces of our vocation, Mary is all wrapped up with that. And so we have a mother who cares about all our needs, and she reigns in heaven with her son. We celebrate today the son's ascension into heaven. We'll celebrate in a few months Mary's assumption into heaven. And this means that we as human beings have people that have already arrived. We already have one foot in the door. The human race has received a glorified body, and that is Jesus's body. But also Mary's body is now glorified. Mary's body has reached its fulfillment in her assumption. And this is what we're all called to. And so there is nothing but victory if we want it. There is nothing but a safe harbor if we want it. There is nothing but peace if we want it. The devil has been conquered, and you and I have every reason to believe and to trust that we're going to be okay when we turn to our Blessed Mother. Have a great day, everyone. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day.